would Ryan Seacrest do? We'll not be heard at this time, so that we may spin the following forward.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we're going to be doing a lot of spinning today. Spinning a story, spinning a review, spinning the Big Brother house. We're going to have so much spinning that you may think we're a washing machine with different cycles.
Or a debate prep factory.
No, you're going to call us a spin. You're going to call us the spin room, and we're just going to be spinning all over the place. Hey, nobody told you could come in. Get out of here. Nobody told you could come in here.
Who?
I think you know. Anyway, so let's, you know what? Let's spin the opening theme music from somewhere in America. We Love to Interrupt is on. Let's go.
Welcome to the 460th episode. Now I see why we don't do that until the theme ends. This is episode 460 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block. That's Chico Alexander. That's Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, hello. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you are. And before we begin, we have a whole lot of friends and a whole lot of people down in the Gulf area where Francine is just giving them a really bad beating. Stay strong. Stay safe. Be careful out there, okay?
Indeed.
Well, using an ECW term, Francine is nailing everybody with a chair.
Yes, she is. Oh, okay. I like that. But this is the opening credits 41 years in the making. For the first time since 1983, we have a new host as the syndicated host of Wheel of Fortune, and this is how it debuted, courtesy of Sony Pictures Studios. This is how it happened Monday night.
And now, together for the first time, here are the stars of our show, Ryan Seacrest and Vanna White.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Welcome to the show.
So happy to be here with you.
So good to have you.
Let's have fun.
Let's do it.
Okay. Hi. Good to see you too. Welcome. Nice to have you. Welcome to Wheel of Fortune. I am your host, Ryan Seacrest. I still can't believe my luck being here with you tonight to continue this legacy of this incredible show with all of you. And of course, my good friend, Vanna White. Thank you for the very warm welcome. Hosting Wheel of Fortune is a dream job. I've been a fan of this show since I was a kid watching it in Atlanta with my family, and I know how special it is that Wheel has been in your living rooms for the past 40 years. And I'm just so grateful to be invited in. I also know I've got some very big shoes to fill. So let's play Wheel of Fortune.
Okay, simple. Classy, effective.
Yes, and yes. And more importantly than that, especially in the writing, everything is smooth. Nobody missed a beat. And that's important.
That is,
you know,
very
for anybody that's wondering, well, is Ryan Seacrest going to do a job? It was really smooth, and he felt really comfortable. And it felt, everything felt great. Everything felt normal.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, because we, I guess you could call us insiders now, thanks Jay for his continued friendship with one Harry Friedman.
I'm not friends with Bellamy Blackstone, but I will just say, thank you for the continued support from Krista Ostensen over at Wheel and over at Sony. So I will just say that.
Okay, but here's the thing. The three of us know that it takes a lot of moving parts to make a show like Wheel of Fortune look as good as it does. The fact that Ryan Seacrest comes in, a seasoned professional, he's been doing this for almost 30 years now. I know it doesn't look like it because the guy doesn't age, but still, he's been doing
this. He's 50
this.
Or going to be 50.
He's
going to
be 50. Gordon Pepper is older than Ryan Seacrest is, and Gordon Pepper's a young dude.
No, but I think what you're, first of all, number one, this, you know, contrary to a lot of people's opinions, I love the new set. It's modern. It's fresh.
It's modern and it's minimalist. It looks like it has like that sort of bow to classic sets, and also kind of looks like a video game. We've been talking about this for a couple of days now, and you know, we have some of the best and brightest minds in the writer's room of this podcast, and yeah, we all came to the agreement that it looks like, it looks modern, it looks minimalist, kind of sort of like a video game. Nobody's missed a beat. Ryan Seacrest is always on point, and that makes the show very good. Vanna White is putting him at ease.
Okay, let me just sort of break it down, because there's a billion different points you're missing here. Number one, this was not his first week. They take this about,
I know, this
6
is not,
weeks.
Yeah, this isn't his first week, because they shot a whole bunch of episodes on the old set, and you'll see them later in the season.
Correct. And, okay, number two, the opening shots of them in boxes during the speed up rounds, old, like you said, like a video game, very good. Okay. Now, in the opening week this week, because there's a sweepstakes based off of LG, we have a bonus round, seventh letter of G. So it's RSTLGNE, which I think is clever.
It's clever. It's very clever.
Okay. And we finally got, you know, we finally got a win this week, in the bonus round on tonight's show, which was teased, but again, Seacrest will get there, but as a first week, he's really good. I'm going to say this now, and you're going to think I'm nuts when I say this, but he's got the Emmy nomination in the bag. He really does. I know that's going to that sounds hyperbolic, but I think he's got the Emmy nomination in the bag. I really do.
Well, like I said, he is a seasoned professional. I mean, they wouldn't have brought him on if they didn't think he knew what he was doing. And granted, anytime a new person comes into an established gig, there is a learning curve.
Not so much for him. And I will just also say this, and I'm going to say this. Isn't it nice to have a smooth transition of hosts on a syndicated game show?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Jason Block. You are crazy.
Speaking of which, hey, Johnny Gilbert.
This is going to feel nice.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Speaking of which, finally we actually have a transition. So, yeah, we do. So, going into Wednesday's show, because we're in season 41, we had... it's sort of Wheel of Champions
It is definitely Wheel of Champions, because we've had three different shows so far this season and three different champions. The latest being Will Weiss, a technical program manager from Islip, New York, right about your way, Jason Block.
Mm-hmm. And also right now, Will is going in with a one-day champ of $14,000. Going into the final Jeopardy tonight, he locks the game away at 13-6. Ben has 5. Kristen has 14-4-4.
By the way, now you're missing a couple of details. Ben would be Ben Gagne Maynard, an educational consultant from Madison, Wisconsin. Go Badgers. And Kristen is Kristen Robinson, a history instructor from St. Joe's.
Right. So the final Jeopardy category is world borders. The clue. Thank you. After Canada and the U.S., these two countries share the longest land border at 4,700 miles. I was way off on this one.
Well, what did you say? Because I had it, actually.
Oh, you did? You really? I was thinking Brazil and Argentina, actually.
Yeah, that's not that long. Gordon, did you have it?
Well, my first thought was China and Mongolia. And then my second thought was Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin's bodies.
Good night, everybody.
Uh-huh.
You're not too far off, Gordon, with Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. You're not too far off.
And what's wrong about their bodies?
Absolutely nothing. Can we mention that Matt Game is coming to Game Show Network next week?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, anyway, you're not too far off, Gordon. The correct response would be, what are Russia and Kazakhstan? Bye-bye.
It is very nice. So Will be coming back tomorrow on Thursday with a two-day champion of 27-6, and all is right with the world. Yeah.
All okay. Just wait until we get to what we're about to review here. We'll see if it all is still right with the world.
Let's go to Radford then, we're gonna do it.
Well, before we get to Radford, do they shoot Flipside in Radford? I don't know.
Oh, we're gonna go there. All right. Okay.
We're all talking about syndicated shows, right? Now, we might as well get them all out of the way. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, okay. So, Flipside is the GSN Jaleel White production. It's typical syndicated GSN fare. Two teams of two have to battle in three rounds to go to a bonus round to win $10,000. Jaleel White is host and producer. And the reason why they call it Flipside is one question is, say, retail workers, they were surveyed, and then the other side was shoppers, okay? And in the first round, each question was worth, 100 points?
250 points for the first round. Round two is, doubles the points. Then you go into a 30-second speed round, they call it the fast flip. And the players with the most points at the end of that round win $1,000. And go on to a final bonus round where they're getting one more question with 10 possible answers. They need to come up with
the top five answers on the board
before getting three strikes from the other answers. They do that, they win $10,000.
Right.
And you said it before, it's a standard GSN fare. It's fluffy, it's minimalist, it's not that groundbreaking, let's just say.
It's unoriginal as beep, okay?
It reminds me of what would happen if Let's Ask America and America Says had a kid, and that kid turned out to be a problem child.
Right, and Gordon and I had a little discussion on this. The problem is that there is absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, zero, nada.
No, there is no there there.
There is no there there. The graphics are the same. They look like Beat the Bridge, right?
They do.
Jaleel White is pulling his Nick Cannon card when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, and Jay and I actually talked about this as well. Here's the thing. This is not Jaleel White's first game show rodeo. He did...
No, and a lot of people said that it was his debut, and it's not his debut.
No.
He did a show on Sci-Fi called Total Blackout.
Which he was 1,000 times better at!
A pro on Total Blackout. Jaleel Ahmad White, what is you doing?
You know, Gordon, did we miss anything?
Well, I'm going to actually be a little bit different. I'm going to talk about the good about the show.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll talk about the bad also, but I'm going to talk about the good about the show. First of all, if you're looking to hit GSN's demographic, you've hit it. You've yes. nailed it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty innocuous stuff. It is certainly playable. You can play along, sort of, kind of. Because, yeah, you asked about this, and then you asked if whether or not it's this or this, and it's a flip side, it's this or that. So, is it water cooler? No. Is it easily forgettable? Yeah, it sort of reminds me of Cracker Jacks over at Yankee Stadium. You eat them, it tastes good, you're watching a good game, and then you'll completely forget about it once you leave the stadium, both the food and the show.
Right.
There's nothing hideously wrong about the show. It's just, as you both said, it's there. It's golden snitchy. In terms of the first two rounds almost don't matter. At least in America says, if you're pounding on the other person, the first two rounds matter. If one team's pounding on the other team, I should say, not pounding on the other person. This, it doesn't really matter because you don't get enough points in the first and second round for a runaway. But there's a lot of different elements in play that we've seen before by Kellerknoll Productions. And I guess you can steal from yourself without having much of it. I did like the bonus round, but as Jay has said, we have seen it before. We've seen it on Greed. We have seen it in other places where they've had this sort of setback. Setback as in set. Comma back, not as in one word, as in a bad thing, because I do like the bonus round in terms of that, but we've seen it before. We've seen everything on this game show before in terms of that. So is it there? Yeah. But does it do everything that it is supposed to do from Game Show Network standpoint? Yeah. And in terms of Mr. White, in terms of being the host, does he do what he needs to do? Yeah, he doesn't have to be the bubbly Jaleel White that we saw over at Total Blackout, because that's not what his role is. And again, to be fair, it's interesting because this is definitely a Franken game show where you're seeing all sorts of bits from other games that it's there. But on the other hand, it gets the job done in terms of what it needs to do. It doesn't recreate the wheel, but it's not supposed to. It's supposed to give you fan-friendly, happy game show. I don't want to say trivia because there isn't any, but game show, fun, happy vibes for a half hour of your life. And that it succeeds. But if you're looking for the next big wheel that Game Show Network has and the next big thing, it's called Split Second, which ironically enough is a review, because you won't find that sort of... You won't find that sort of innovation here, but then again, based on the homework assignment and based on what they're looking for, you don't have to. So it's sort of a weird thing. I'm going to go C+. It's a little better than average. It does what it's supposed to do. But from, again, a game show purist standpoint, you're not going to be thrilled with this one.
Agreed. C+ is about the grade where I was going. And remember, but what you have to give GSN credit for, look at how many shows they've tried, even though they're, you know, not original. You know, Hey Yahoo, People Puzzler, what was it? Beat the Bridge, this, Split Second. At least we're getting a lot of original programming. And I respect it.
And we're not getting stuff that sucks. Maybe some of the stuff is a little underwhelming, but we know they can do good stuff. Split Second is amazing. Yes. Beat the Bridge, not so much. People Puzzler, okay. I would put this sort of in the realm of People Puzzler in that sort of area. It's much better than Hey Yahoo.
Oh, yeah. I will say People Puzzler has that pull factor. I mean, you see the push factor and then you see the pull factor. People Puzzler draws an audience in because people can easily engage with it. Same with Split Second. It's why those two are very, very successful.
And, well, I think to a lesser extent, so is this show. It's just, again, a matter of Is there anything we haven't seen before? No. Is there something that is catchy in terms of the game? Sort of, kind of with that. But again, we've seen it before. I mean, remote control online one, for argument's sake, this or that.
You don't know Jack.
So again, it's a freaking game show. But does it mean it's a bad show? No, it's just, if you're looking for something original and unique, you're not going to find it here. If you're looking for something fun, you'll find something. Is it going to last forever like they think that it's going to? I don't know. I definitely think it should get a season two. It could get one of those, but we'll see.
Well, here's the thing. It's on syndication, and it is helped by that. See person, place, or thing. It's on syndication. It's on Game Show Network. They help each other out. It's a beautiful thing.
Speaking of helping each other out and, well, weird things in the house, let's get to Bradford, shall we?
Big Brother.
Yes, and I would like to thank Chico Alexander for helping me out on this.
You're welcome.
I really do. It's just been a little busy this week. Last week on Big Brother, Quinn Win won HOH and nominated Angela, Chemo, and Rubina. Leah won Power of Veto and saved Angela, which will become relevant later, leaving Chemo, Rubina, and Joseph. The reason why Quinn nominated him still remains a mystery at this point, two of which are pawns to fight out in the AI arena. Rubina gets the win in a round of bandwidth booster, which means someone's pawn is about to be checkmated as we go over the last week of Big Brother.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Okay, before we get in too much into it, we have a special announcement, and it comes from Ainsley herself, but we'll get to that. So, a couple of stats. So far, everyone who has been evicted voted not to bring Ainsley into the house. Also, every veto that had this season has been won and been used. So Quinn made his mission to protect Joseph because he wants him on the jury. T-Core, meanwhile, wants to build enough votes to get Joseph out of the house. Quinn, Cam, Chelsea, and Mackenzie needed a fourth vote, so they go to Alina. So, AI Alina is banned with boosters. Not unlike the Survivor game, players untangle themselves from a cable twisted around a structure so that they'd be able to cross the arena and hit their button first. Winner is Rubina! Ding, 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 ding. So it's either Joseph or Chemo who's going to be evicted. So, in a close 4-3 decision, Mackenzie, T-Core, Rubina, and Chelsea vote to put on the loser's lounge couch Joseph. Hit it, Chico.
Yes, it's the WLTI Loser's Lounge couch and comfortable seating. Remote control freedom. Sit in sweet, soft-ass cushions. Cup holder, your very own cubby hole, and an e-reader preloaded with a copy of Video Hounds Golden Movie Retriever 2021, the complete guide to movies on VHS, DVD, and high-def formats. Don't worry about the year. Year's not important. As well as the club Gordon Banger of the Week, Gordon!
Shag. As in a tribute to Joseph's mustache. Just saying, that mustache it gives me Austin Powers feedback.
I get a Yacht Rock vibe from that mustache. Anyway, you want snacks? We got snacks. We got Goobers, Raisinets, Pretzels, Oreos, Reese's, Stewie's Threes, Hot Peanuts, Takis, Stilled Reese's Cups, Cheez-Its, Peach Sprinkles, Fruit Flies, Funyuns, Fun Dip, Garrett Chicago-style popcorn. If you're thirsty, we have the drinks that'll cure your little loser thirst. We have Coke, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Sprite, Snapple, Ocean Spray, Ruby Red, Dr. Pepper, Simply Orange, Simply Cranberry, Tang, Red Kool-Aid, Sunny D, Purple Stuff, Purple Drink, Four Loko, A&W Root Beer. And the number one snack combination is WLTI Loser's Lounge Couch, that would be Krispy Kreme, Classic Glazed Donuts, Hot and Fresh, and Izzy Soft Drink. And the number one rule of the WLTI Loser's Lounge Couch, you can sleep on it, you can hog the cushion, but you do not hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy Soda. Y'all don't come back now, you hear?
So
on a side note, why in the world are you going to be that dumb to put your allies up as pawns?
Because Quinn is a moron and doesn't know how to play the game. How's that?
Quinn Martin, production.
Right on. Okay. So in DynCam, which is the HOH competition, and the house guests have been receiving videos that showed front porch meal deliveries. The house guests will have to answer before and after questions regarding those deliveries. The most correct wins, and the winner is Chelsea. One of the votes behind flipping votes to Joseph. So Quinn is in deep trouble. Hit it again.
A Quinn Martin production.
Right. So it came to between a tiebreaker and Chelsea and Cam. So one of Chelsea's first competitions is HOH with Quinn, because she wanted to reassure him that her vote to take out Joseph was not meant to isolate him and that she still has her back. Her main ally is Cam, who is flirting with Mackenzie and Leah. Well, we'll get back to that. So Chelsea puts up Chemo, and entertained to put up Chemo as a pawn against Angela. With T-Core, Rubina, and Mackenzie, that would be three votes locked in the worst case scenario. And it would become Chelsea to, well, no, it would become Chelsea to break the tie, and that's what was happened. So Chemo and Angela were nominated. But tonight, we had the fastest OTEV in history. Because it lasted, get this, Gordon, one round.
Whee!
One. The first question was, which evicted house guest didn't participate in the first Triple H comp? The only person who brought back Cedric's card, by the way, the veto players, do we know who the veto players were?
I told you who the veto players were. The veto players were Chelsea picked Quinn, Angela picked Mackenzie, and Chemo picked Christina, and they all picked Trash for OTEV, who this year is a trash-talking trash panda who wants to collect trash and eat trash.
Hmm. So the thing is that Mackenzie only brought Cedric, and everyone brought back Tucker. So Mackenzie wins again, okay? So she wins the power of veto and uses it to save, to be continued. Now, we know who it's going to happen, and for about the next minute, if you want to fast forward to this and be surprised, you can do so. I'm going to give a 5-second countdown and we're going to discuss it. Okay? We usually don't, but this is important. 3, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're still here, nah, there you go. Okay. So, Mackenzie decides to, Mackenzie and Chelsea decide to backdoor Quinn. She takes Angela off again and puts Quinn up on the block. It's Quinn versus Chemo on veto night.
Yes, Quinn versus Chemo. That's only two people, though.
That's
now,
right.
Remember, Ainsley had a very special announcement, didn't she?
Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, because AI's gone.
AI Arena's gone, and you're all in the jury pool now.
Right.
Yep, so that was the announcement.
Right. So, Gordon, Quinn's first on jury, right?
Yep.
Unanimous?
The smart move would be to get rid of Quinn.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You can make a thought to get rid of Chemo here also, because Chemo is actually sort of better aligned. Quinn's sort of persona non grata, except for the fact that you've seen Quinn winning a whole bunch of competitions and he can probably keep himself in. The backdoor is intentional. This is how you get rid of somebody that keeps on winning competitions.
Now, here's the question. And we asked this last week, but since she was saved again, what is it, for the fourth time or was this the fifth time? I ask.
About the... Fourth, I want to say it's the fourth time. I want to say it's the fourth time.
Is Angela still a threat to win the whole thing?
Depending on who she's up against, yes. Because Angela, in this sort of way, is not getting any blood on her hands. The blood on the hands that she had was early on, and the people that she targeted are now gone and out of the house and not even in the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have any natural enemies as of yet. And so it really depends on how the jury is. If the jury respects gameplay, she's probably not going to win. Because, again, you want to bring Angela with you to the end. if the jury is a pissed off jury, then she's got a shot. If they're going to go after the person that had the least blood on their hands, which is, of course, how Charlie lost Survivor.
Right. Because
so,
right now...
I think she still has a chance.
I actually think she has a chance
of at least second.
I think she... Well, put it to you this way. If you get Quinn out, right? Okay, and Quinn is the first member of the jury, and he gets to hang out all by himself, right? When does the double elimination happen? This week?
I actually have an answer to that question.
Do you?
Yeah, because we have a schedule shakeup to talk about, and it has to do with the summit in October. Following this, okay, first of all, an encore of the summit premiere episode will now air Wednesday, October 2nd from 9:30 to 11 after Survivor. And then episode 2 will air October 9th. Big Brother's final 2 weeks have been updated. A 2-hour live eviction episode will air Thursday, October 3rd. And then Sunday will air the season retrospective on October 6th. And the 2-hour finale will air October 13th. So,
so we need a double elimination or like quick. Don't you think? Because how many are left?
We have 9 left.
So, Gordon, we need a double elimination really quickly, don't we?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be this week. I do think it'll be next.
So on the 18th, you would say.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, because we're overdue for one, actually.
Yeah, remember, we are, if I'm looking at my Doctor Who calendar here, we are 1, 2, 3, 4. We are now 4 weeks away from finale night.
Mm-hmm. So, indeed.
So we got to start cutting people.
Quickly. Yes.
Like the guillotine.
Yes. And we need boobies.
Well.
Okay. Well, as in Booby, the sequels on Global All-Stars. The guest judge was our good friend Carson Kressley. The mini challenge was, of course, the reading challenge because the library is open. And the mini challenge winner was Kitty Scott Claus, who won $2,500. And the main challenge was, this was an acting challenge, right? Because you had to star in sequels of Booby, which I'm guessing is Barbie in some respect. And the winner of that was Queen Kong, because the runway theme was Brown Town. She won $10,000. The bottom 2 were Eve LaQueen and Galavaro, and Eve LaQueen is Eve LaGon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a bit of an insight of what the challenge was. Each team was given a film concept mashup with everybody's favorite doll, Booby.
Okay.
Included in each plot. Team Rue Girl gets Jurassic Booby. Tessa, Vanity, Galavaro, and Ava LaQueen get Franken Booby. And Joie de Muse, Pythia, and Nailania get Boobies of the Caribbean, The Search for Buried Booty. All of them were bad. Not bad as in the so bad it's good category that we usually get on Drag Race. I mean, they were
bad.
Bad. So we had Jurassic Booby was a dinosaur-sized booby. The Caribbean team got a decent script, and to their credit, they really make the most of it. But you said you already had the winner. It was who's the winner?
Queen Kong.
Queen Kong. So yeah, Queen Kong won the booby challenge, and unfortunately, that left Ava LaQueen to get the booby prize.
I was waiting for that.
I know. I hope I did not disappoint you, Gordon.
You did not. What's next?
We need some questions. And survey says 5+1 on Family Feud. Chico, the first one.
I got the first one right here. Question one. Cars are out and vacations are in. Is this a good thing?
Absolutely. See, the thing is right now, we're now about 4.5 years, legitimately, since the pandemic was declared in 2020, and the supply chain still isn't happening. Fremantle, as you know, there is a rule now, and Gordon and Chico, we've touched on this. If you're outside of the state of California, cars get turned into cash. And families want to go on trips together instead of having a car together. So I love this idea. Long time coming, actually.
I think it's a good idea. I also think that how are you going to split a car among a family? A vacation is a family vacation theme thing. It carries the theme. So it's cool. I think it's a fun idea. And it also saves on the budget because it'll guarantee you a vacation is going to be cheaper than a car.
Indeed, especially if they can find ways to, you know, budget the vacation. I mean, you look at cars that they had in seasons past, you're talking $25,000, $30,000 SUVs. They're very nice SUVs, but still.
If you can cut budget a vacation at, say, Gordon, just off the top of my head, $15,000, let's say half, right? $15,000 for a good family vacation, that's about right. Maybe 10 to 15. That's absolutely one third of a car, because the average price of a car, I believe, is $30,000. And there are no cars in the United States that are under $20,000 retail. That's slugs. I know that for a fact because I actually did research on this. Okay. Mm-hmm. The only car before the 2024 car model year, which they started this month, that was under $20,000 was, and it was offered on the Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, was the Mitsubishi Mirage DE, which was between $18,000 and $19,000. Not anymore. Right. It is not being brought into the United States. So, next, I have one, and it actually is for the celebrity version, if that's okay.
Okay.
Celebrity Family Feud is still one of the top shows for ABC. Why do you think Celebrity Family Feud is why it is a continued success?
Oh, well, that's it comes down to three things. One, casting the celebrities. You always get people who want to come on and play the game, and every time you watch it, you know, they're ultra competitive. They are ultra hyper focused. They are in it to win it, and nobody slouches. That's one. Two, Steve Harvey's comedic timing on point as always. And three, it is ABC content, ABC friendly question content. You put them together, it's a success.
I'll also add four and five, and Gordon, you'll agree with me on this, I hope. One, the casting, they actually do get B to A-list people. I mean, they got people like Megan Thee Stallion, who is one of the hot rappers out there. Okay, she's not, you know, B-list. Okay?
Didn't she host the VMAs tonight?
Yes, she did. Okay. And two, the reason why Celebrity Family Feud success and Millionaire Celebrity does not is because you have a syndicated version of Feud to fall back on. Regular people are still winning money on Family Feud. Okay?
I'm going to disagree with you on that because here's what I think. In terms of celebrities, A, people want to see celebrities play Family Feud and get silly with Steve Harvey. That I agree with you with, much more than answering questions in terms of that. Nobody wants that. It's much more of a playability factor, and I think the casting is great. I also think The questions are great because they do tailor those questions towards the celebrities.
Yes. And also, the celebrity Wheel of Fortune succeeds because of the exact same idea.
Yes.
The play.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, next one, question three.
Question three, Gordon.
Jason absolutely loves the writing on the show, and he loves the double entendres, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does it get old this season?
Nope. The ratings are still high. I may, again, just because I don't like it doesn't mean I don't understand it or get it. It's still PG-13 comfort food for, you know, it's a different generation of Family Feud. Remember, we're in, what is it now, 45 years almost? Almost 50, right? Almost 50 years of Family Feud right now.
Right, right. And that brings me to question number four. We are heading toward the... sorry about that. We are heading toward the 50th anniversary of the Family Feud in 2026. Is it too early to start thinking about something special?
No, it's not. But they have to. And they should. Okay? Because with all due respect, they tried to do it on ABC, and that wasn't enough. But with Jeopardy, the 40th and 60th anniversaries did okay, and we'll find out more about that later. But I think they really should do something special. I wish they did, you know, something really big.
Yeah, I would think that would be cool on that. Maybe adding up the money. Maybe I don't know. There's not much to fix on this.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's the Feud. It doesn't need any help, but you know,
it's one of the greatest formats of all time. Period. Seriously. Yeah.
But still, a format that, like that deserves to be celebrated, and I'm hoping they celebrate it when the time comes.
Yes. Okay. I have one. I have another one, if that's okay. Question five. Again, Steve Harvey continues his record run of hosting on Family Feud. What is his legacy in this particular game show? And I mean, has he taken the mantle of greatest of all Family Feud host away from Richard Dawson?
You can never take away the mantle from Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson is the GOAT. Richard Dawson set the table. He set the blueprint. He showed everybody how the Family Feud should run. And he said it himself. Let anybody who can play the game, come on and play the game. That's his legacy.
Yeah, he's starting his 14th season.
I know. This month. It's like this season of Steve Harvey will have surpassed both Richard Dawson and Ray Combs combined.
Yeah.
I think Dawson edges out Harvey due to the fact that Dawson doesn't need to be vulgar. And it's almost sort of like Harvey does, but Dawson's got this old sly wink, 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 nudge, nudge sort of energy that the 70s and 80s had in both Magic Game and Family Feud. So I think Richard's the GOAT, but I think Steve Harvey has earned that number two with a bullet behind him. And there's a big gap between those two and everybody else, in my opinion. Do you may argue with me on John O'Hurley? I think there's a gap between O'Hurley and everybody else under him. But those three are your three. And in my mind, there's a big gap between the first two and O'Hurley.
Okay. And the numbers question, the plus one.
Last season, Family Feud tied for the most watched game show in syndication with a 4.7. This season, Family Feud gets...
Survey says 4.8. People still want to watch.
I think 4.8 is the correct number. I think it will get jumped I don't think it'll finish in number one. I think, as Chico said, I think that's going to jump. I think the show that it's tied with is going to jump a little further. But that being said, second is not bad.
Not at all. I mean, what is it, Family Feud, the syndication to what, 2028, I think?
I believe so.
I don't know the numbers, but they're in. It's crazy, it's been renewed for
a long term, let's just say that. It's mm-hmm. not going anywhere. I don't think Steve Harvey's going anywhere. And
is he an executive producer on the show?
I want to say he is.
Oh, okay.
I think he is now.
Okay. According to multiple sources, they are renewed through next year, 25-26.
So they will indeed make it to the 50th anniversary.
They were renewed through Lionsgate in February of 2023. I don't think, and by the way, they're going to go further too.
It's
Debmar Mercury's and Fremantle's number one syndicated, one of the number one syndicated shows out there. Mm-hmm.
Indeed it is. And next week we're going to talk about not one show, but three shows, all within the same block, in the studio somewhere in Atlanta.
Yes, the Fox Triumvirate, yes?
Yes, that would be Pictionary, Person, Place, or Thing, and of course, 25 Words or Less.
One of the most underrated shows on TV. I mean that. We'll talk about that, well, in Act 3, because the Super Toilet's back. Yay!
But before we get to the Super Toilet, we need to talk about all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including a list of casts, a list of awards, and another list of awards. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, your home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 words out of the 25 words or less that you can use to describe that show.
Good show. Oh, 25 words. Word game pods.
Password hybrid.
Excellent host.
You could be a millionaire if you stay on for 800 episodes.
I think that's 25, actually.
We only get 22, so we'll be back right after this.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun, and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong, and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
WLCI has been brought to you by America's favorite food, Kerf. perfect for tailgating in North Carolina. Kentucky Fried Tornado.
Yes, it's back.
And the flavor is NFC South Soufflé.
I would have thought it was going to be Bourbon Street Gumbo myself, but that's...
That's fine with NFC South Soufflé. So now keep the state in mind, November 11th. The week before, someone will win the presidency of the United States. That this week, someone will win an NFL game. It could be the Panthers. It probably will be the Giants. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Well, maybe not.
Hey, we said this on the BS Big Show yesterday, Jason and I. Right now, the New York Giants are trash.
Right now, you have 16 teams in the league that are trash and 16 teams that are 1-0.
Yeah, but, some of the teams that are 0-1, they are 0-1 because somebody has to lose a game. See the Rams-Lions game on Sunday night. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
Yeah, but somebody's got to win November 11th.
Yeah.
Someone does. But you know what we need? We need some news. Hit the cue.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And do not forget, he broadcasts his show, Rock Tracks with Doug Morris, from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on WXRR Hattiesburg, Rock 104, that's 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, on the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 apps. Okay, so I have one list of awards.
I have another list of awards, but that's in the global section. But I need you to hit a couple of cues for me, if that's okay.
Okay.
Hit Johnny Gilbert one more time.
Hitting Johnny Gilbert one more time.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
So for all you people who thought that people were suffering from tournament fatigue, and, you know, all this tournament, well, the Emmy voters went... Because they just awarded Jeopardy Best Game Show at the Creative Arts Emmys this past weekend. So that's good. But do you actually have the other cue for the other game show?
The other cue for the other game show? You mean this one?
Yeah, that one. Because Pat Sajak won his first Emmy in what, 40 years?
26 years. My God, interact together, Jason. Yeah,
26 years, but it's a long time.
We called it, by the way. I just want to point that out. Pat Sajak won for Outstanding Game Show Host. He posted on X, formerly known as Twitter. Thank you all so very much. He beat out, if I'm not mistaken, Steve Harvey, Kiki Palmer, Wayne Brady, and...
No, Brady didn't get nominated. That was But there was a big... Well, actually, not a big surprise to me. Okay?
Okay.
The streak of RuPaul's Drag Race's best reality competition show is over.
Whoa. That award has not been given out yet.
Yes, it has. The competition show has. The host hasn't.
No, the host had. The host won. The host was given out. The competition has not.
That's right. Okay, you're correct. That's right. The host was. But still, that was RuPaul's to lose. And RuPaul lost it. Okay. To Alan Cummings for the Traitors.
Yep. For the first time in
8 years, I believe. Is it eight or nine?
First time in 8 years, we have a new outstanding reality competition host in Alan Cumming for the Traitors. Traitors is up for outstanding reality competition. That will be awarded on the primetime Emmys, which will be the Sunday before the season begins.
So, I actually have an immediate media hall report later on happening tonight at the VMAs, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we actually have a date book, and it's pretty big, again, because it's September. On Friday, as we report this, and thank you, Gordon, for the date book, we have the season premiere on YouTube of Taskmaster, the season finale of Let's Make a Deal Primetime, I believe, which is the Ultimate Zonk Redemption Special. And if it's anything like Primetime, they're going to throw a lot of good stuff at them. Saturday is the premiere on CNN of I Got News For You. Sunday is the season finale on Food and Max of Alex versus America. And on Monday, we have it's the 3 hour Steve Harvey extravaganza on ABC, which is the Celebrity Family Feud season finale, Fantasy Suites versus Golden 5, and 9-1-1 versus Jury Duty. And then John Legend and Chrissy Teigen versus David Chang and Deadliest Catch versus Star Trek. And then Family Feud is the best of Steve Harvey, and Nick Cannon has Wild and Out with Mariah the Scientist. And Tuesday is the premiere of Culinary Class Wars. I think we're going to review that next week. The season finale of Beach Azam, the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars. Bobby's Triple Threat, a season finale on Food and Max. And then we have the season finale of MasterChef Generations and the season premieres of Survivor and The Golden Bachelorette on ABC. I need water. Chico, you need to talk about that app, though.
We were just talking about Survivor. That actually is one of the two shows that we are going to be talking about in Dad Apto, because two of our favorite game show podcasts of record are going to have new bodies hosting. First of all, that's exciting. The On Fire with Jeff Probst will be co-hosted by, and we mentioned this guy before, Charlie Davis from Survivor 46. He and Jeff will be breaking down all of the action on Survivor 47 starting this Wednesday. Meanwhile, on Jeopardy, we have a new co-host joining Sarah Whitcomb-Foss in the studio is Jeopardy legend Sam Buttrey.
Bring it.
Ooh.
Bring it.
And I actually think that's a good idea because Michael Davies is busy. He's busy.
He's got stuff.
So does Buzzy Cohen, but I don't know what he's got. So,
Einstein Project, I think it is. Anyway.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And also some stuff that he was pumping for at a SporkleCon, from what I understand. By the way, I met Buzzy last year. Great guy. And you know what? Charlie on Survivor, Sam on Jeopardy, they're both really smart.
Smart. This, not so much.
That's dumb.
So you remember we were talking about the fact that Shakira was sued for back taxes in Spain?
Yeah.
Well, she settled for $15 million. And according to People.com, she said, and I quote, I didn't settle because I was guilty. I settled because I was protecting my children.
Okay. Jay, you are a legal mind.
Well, I'm going to read what she wrote, and I quote, I want to leave my children the legacy of a woman who explained her reasons calmly and in her own time, when she considered it necessary, not when she was forced to. I need them to know that I made the decisions I made to protect them, to be by their side, and to get on with my life, not out of cowardice or guilt. Okay? And then she continued, but the most frustrating thing that was a state institution seemed more interested in publicly burning me at the stake than in listening to my reasons. Well, I think the time has come to hit back, she wrote, before accusing tax authorities of making up a contrived stories over her taxes to create obligations that did not exist. And, the big thing she said, there may be why I am bothering to make these statements now. The first reason is my children. We have lived in an era marked by a tone of arrogance from the state, but bullying is not the same as giving reasons. Things are not solved by burning one public figure at the stake every year as if it were an Inquisition trial to order recover lost prestige. Because she was facing 8 years in jail and a fine of more than $26 million. Gordon, let me cut through the media apology here. Yes, exactly. This was absolute moo poo. Yep, exactly. She got fined. She cut a deal, and well, you know what? Good. Just say, look, I cut a deal. Not, I cut a deal for my kids. No,
I'm doing it for my kids. No amount of money, and I tell you, I was making million. Oh God, I'm quoting Ruby Frankie now. I better shut up.
Yeah, let's shut up because I'm thirsty. It's time for some Haterade. There we go. Now, okay. So Jeremy Clarkson, who was ending the Top Gear run, what was it? One for the Road, I believe.
The Grand Tour on Amazon Prime. They're ending it. It ends this Friday, actually.
Right. So he went on the Something Rotten podcast. Okay.
No. He did a column for his weekly column after Chris Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Was on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Uh-huh.
That bastion of positive energy in the podcastverse.
Mm-hmm.
And Jez basically said he was wound up something rotten by Chris Harris telling Joe that his 2008 Tesla review was effectively faked. He wrote, Joe and Chris perpetuate the myth that my Tesla road test was unfair. On Top Gear, we cocked about and upset a lot of people over the years, but our road tests were always scrupulously fair. Now you remember this episode, right, Jay?
I didn't see it, but you did. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the review of the Tesla Roadster, Clarkson said, after 88, what's this thing hit 88? The battery died. The vehicle's brakes failed, the engine overheated, and it took 16 hours to charge. But in a drag race with a Lotus Elise, the Roadster's speed was all but lauded. Clarkson said at the time, I cannot believe this. That's biblically quick. This car is electric. Literally. And of course, Joe Rogan, the car-minded mind that he is, that Clarkson and the BBC did Elon Musk dirtier than anybody ever did with their review of the Tesla. Oh, and Chris Harris was like, oh, they were naughty with that. Joe Rogan continues, they did a terrible thing. I talked to Elon about it, and he was furious. They pretended that his car died, and they did it for a sketch. And this was the early days of Tesla. And I'm thinking to myself, really?
Well, Elon sued and lost. Come on.
Yeah, at this point, you're just trolling your audience. You're just trolling your audience and baiting your haters. Why do you want to do that? Is it the money thing? Because rage bait is a quick into money. Just ask anybody from TV Insider. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But let's move on from the Tesla, but we need to stay in the UK.
Alrighty. Here's a British artist right here.
So the National Television Awards in Britain were announced today. Now, the National Television Awards is sort of like the People's Choice Awards, okay? Because the people get to vote on what they think is best. And we're going to talk about some categories that are of interest to us. For example, the Bruce Forsyth Entertainment Award went to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, okay? Daytime winner was, I think you have the music for it, The Chase. Thank you. Yep. The Chase won Best Daytime. The Best Quiz Show went to The 1% Club.
Which I totally get.
Okay. By the way, that beat Limitless Wind, beat The Chasers, The Wheel, and Osmond's House of Games. The reality competition went to The Traitors, which beat The Race Across the World, Love Island, Celebrity Big Brother, and The Apprentice. And the talent show went to Strictly Come Dancing, probably won't next year after what happened, with the British got over Britain's Got Talent, The Great British Bake Off, MasterChef, and The Voice UK. Ant and Dec won for I'm a Celebrity over Bradley Walsh, Claudia Winkleman, and a couple of others. So, yeah.
How many awards Ant and Dec have won in a row, counting this one?
No, how many?
28.
For presenters?
For presenters, yes.
They've won. Wow. That's a streak.
Yeah, it is a streak. Because remember, they had Saturday Night Takeaway, Limitless Win, and also a pokey little show in the early 2000s. You may have heard of it, called Pop Idol.
Yes, and they do Britain's Got Talent as well. Those are some British media pros. We need more.
Oh, we always need more.
And I have a couple of them too.
I got pros. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, tonight at the VMAs, both Sasha Colby and Drag Race Plain Jane channel Chapel Roan. Sasha introduced Chapel Roan as her daughter, which she isn't, of course. And Plain Jane actually attended the VMAs as Chapel Roan.
Oops.
But no, that was a good thing.
That was a good thing. That wasn't a bad thing. That was a good thing. She was paying homage to her.
Yes.
Go on.
Okay, the last one.
Okay. All right, so Devin has receipts from his breakup with Jen Tran, and he's basically like, I was the runner-up. Mm-hmm. I didn't win anything.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi Klum claims it was never counted calories in her life. Maya Bialik may or may not be teasing a return to Jeopardy.
She is, and it ain't don't make fetch happen. Sorry. No disrespect.
Nikki Bella files for divorce from Artem Chigvintsev.
Oof, that's going to get ugly. Not pretty.
DV divorces are always ugly. Carol Vorderman wants Sir Keir Starmer, that would be the new UK Prime Minister, to apologize over fuel for winter heaters. congratulations to Vance Walker, who went back to back on the $1 million for American Ninja Warrior this week. Can he make it a three-peat? We'll find out next summer. We did lose James Earl Jones, the voice of God and Darth Vader. And for my money, Chief Thad Green on MathNet.
And also the first guest ever on Sesame Street. Ever. First celebrity guest ever and a celebrity guest on What's My Line. Pretty good clip, too.
Yep. Joe Manganiello hosts Netflix Geeked Week September 19th. Can't wait for that. And Anna Delvey demands an apology from The View because of what they said on The View. She ain't gonna get it, but she did demand it. But none of them are your pros of the week because, Jay, Survivor's next week. And one of the survivors is actually, like yourself, myself, and Gordon, a podcaster.
Yeah, but it's a different sort of podcaster. Wasn't that guy from the... Is that the guy from the Obama administration? That guy?
It is. That guy.
Oh, boy.
John... okay, so we know who Jay wants off the island.
No. Hold on. I root for everybody's gameplay. I'm just saying. That's
we
all.
We get it. You're a Republican. Anyway.
And those are your hoes.
Okay. By the way, they are T.D. Titirillo of Manahawkin, New Jersey, Rome Cooney of Corvallis, Oregon, Anika Dar of Santa Rosa, California, Taryn T.K. Foster of Prince George's County, Maryland, Tiana Hallams from Aiea, Hawaii, Rachel Lamont of Dexter, Michigan, the aforementioned Pod Save America host, John Lovett, Genevieve Mushaluk from Winnipeg, Gabe Ortiz from Baltimore, Kyle Oswald of Sheboygan, Kishan Patel from Fullerton, California, Sam Phelan from Schaumburg, Illinois, Andy Rueda from Buffalo, Sue Smay from Kirkwood, Carolyn Vidmar from Palos Verdes, California, Aisha Walsh from DeSoto, Texas, Sierra Wright from Wilmington, Delaware, and Solomon Yee from Del City, Oklahoma. Now you know who we're going to talk about next week.
Yes, because oh my God, wow. So Survivor, Big Brother, it's getting busy.
It is getting busy, and frankly, I need a lay down. So let me just hit the button here.
Right. And I'll bring in the super toilet because we have a bunch of shows to go through because Push or Flush for the fall season is back. And that'll happen right after this break here at 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by the Whammy all along. One day the Whammy wakes up and loses his power to steal your money. It is up to him to venture into the depths of Television City and Hollywood in order to get his powers back. And if he ever does, you better watch your wallet. It is The Whammy All Along, coming soon to Disney Plus.
I basically
outlines the plot to Agatha All Along.
Yeah, I got that, but, you know. All right, anyway.
Not every rose can have all its petals in place.
Not at all, but we have a super toilet in place. This is Push or Flush, one of my and our favorite segments of the year. We do this about 3 times a year. We have shows that we will take out the calendar and predict how much we like or dislike a show. If we really like a show, we push it. We kind of like it, we pastry it. If we're in the middle, we're going to pickle it. If we don't like it, we jiggle it. If we really don't like it, it's a flush. Three flushes is a clog. And I have, and yes, it's September, so it's pumpkin spice. Like, take it.
If you want to be my plugger.
Yeah, exactly. And let's start.
I lobbied for apple cinnamon, by the way, but they weren't having it. Anyway.
Let's hear the first one. Hit the bell. I Kissed a Boy Season 2 on Hulu. Not my cup of tea, but not the worst thing in the world. Piggle.
I agree, Piggle. It is cute. It's charming. It's British. It doesn't get in its own way. So, yeah.
Yeah, Piggle's the correct grade. It's there. It exists. I get it. Whatever.
All right, next one. Debuted on August 31st, season 12 of High Stakes Poker on Vice. Again, why it's there, content. We're having a bit of a resurgence, but we really need online poker to come back for this to mean anything. Piggle, sadly.
You know what? I like the poker. I like the smack talk. I like staying up at past midnight on a Saturday night. So it is going to be a pastry for me.
I'm going to go with Jay, actually, and Piggle. I think it's all there. I'm hoping someone maybe takes a chance and puts poker in all 50 states in the same chat room.
Would be nice.
Maybe I'm asking too much.
No,
we're not. Next one. On Netflix, Last One Standing, Season 3. What's this one? Is this like Physical 100 or no?
Last One Standing on Netflix is basically a series of comic games where you are starring in thrilling dramas, but if their jokes don't land during the unscripted scenes, they're off the show. And you're literally want to be the last one standing. They've run this for 3 seasons in Japan, and frankly, 3 seasons is enough. Piggle.
It sounds like a jiggle to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna get jiggly with it. It's all right, boss, but
yeah, I'll jiggle it too.
Yeah, exactly. Next one. After Midnight Season 2 on CBS, debuted September 3rd. I like this show. Not, you know, I DVR it, but the thing is that the internet clips make this push.
I agree. The internet clips make it push. Taylor Tomlinson's really come into her own on Season 2. They got some really good talent so far. I can't wait to see where it goes further on down the line. It's a push for me.
It's a pastry for me. I think it's a cool show. I like it, but it's not something that I would DVR religiously to go watch because, again, the mileage depends on the contestants. That's so, fair. But I like it. Pastry.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
That's fair. Next up.
Outlast Season 2 on Netflix debuted September 4th.
And it ended today.
And what was this one?
It was basically Netflix's answer to both Alone and Survivor. It's basically a group of survivalists compete to be the last one standing. And if you would believe, Jason Bateman was behind this show.
Well, he's producing a lot of stuff these days, but not so much here. Piggle.
I think it's a Piggle. It's like a poor man's Survivor, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cute. It's just not my cup of tea either. Piggle.
All right. Lots of piggling so far. Next up.
No piggles here. Go ahead. September 6th, season 21 of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Is this supposedly the last one?
Supposedly, it's the last one. But they've been saying it for the last couple of years now. So who knows?
But again, still one of the funniest shows on TV. Push.
It is Content City, and they're still on it, so push.
Oh, absolutely push.
So, fanfare. Okay, just keep your finger on the button for about the next.
Finger on the button.
Okay. Jeopardy season 41, fanfare.
Hold on. I'm going to wait for somebody to step in with something else. Nope, here we go.
September 9th.
Wait. We're just going to keep this going, aren't we?
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune, next one. Hit the fanfare. However, take the button off here. This is Flipside. Flipside. Again, we talked about it. It's good. It ain't great. Pickle.
It's all right, dog. Pickle.
Yeah, same here. You can do worse, but you can also do a lot better. Pickle.
Okay, next one. 25 Words or Less, Season 6. I got to tell you, it's actually one of the better. It is one of the more underrated shows on TV. I push this.
It is the little show that could. It often does. It delivered some great moments last season. Can't wait for this season. I love Atlanta. Push.
I like Atlanta. Pastry.
Okay. All right. Well,
finicky,
next one.
Anyway.
No. Honesty. Pictionary. I didn't think this would get a season 3, but you know what? Not that much of a fan of this one, but I understand it. Very strong pastry.
It is a pastry. Jerry O'Connell's turning into one of the preeminent presenters in our generation. Can't wait to see where we go from here.
Yeah, pastry seems to be the right grade here. This is good. I like it. It's solid.
And finally, season 2 of Person, Place, or Thing. I hate to say that this show's growing on me, pastry.
I think they fixed what was wrong with it last season and turned it into a nice, solid, tight show, pastry.
Yeah, I'm gonna go pastry on this. It's not terrible. Again, all these syndicated shows have that same common. Well, you've seen this before, but we are executing it very well themed to it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And the thing is, Melissa Peterman has gotten so much better.
Well, she was
as the host.
Well, here's the thing. Melissa Peterman is what we call a host in search of a show.
Well, she was, but I'm just saying, yeah.
And she may have very well found it in Person, Place.
Yep. So, how many shows do we have next week?
I'm looking at the list, and I'll tell you right now, some of the shows that we have like 11 more next week, including shows that launch this week and next week, and there's going to be a gulf of opinion, and we're going to go over that when we do Push or Flush next week. But in the meantime, we gotta wrap this thing up, because we're running a bit long, thanks to all of these shows and premiering in September. Don't you just love the fall? This is Wheel of Twitter Up. Speed Rounds next. Hang out.
Frame Vision has been brought to you by the Giant Holes. That's right. If I'm going to make fun of the Panthers, I may as well make fun of the New York Giants, which looked absolutely awful. Worse than the Panthers, because at least the Panthers have got Bryce Young. This is just a giant disaster this season. And yes, as long as they don't get any wins, they got donut holes. Giant donut holes. That is the New York Giants, because
they
stink.
I can live in these donut holes.
Hmm.
Tasty.
Indeed. So with that, we have a speed round, and we will talk about it now. Big Brother, spoiler alert again, Quinn's on the block with Chemo. Who goes home?
Quinn.
Unanimously?
I'm not going to say unanimously, but I think it's convincing.
Yeah, there's going to be a hefty majority, but Quinn's going to get one or two votes to save him. But he is your first jury member. Drag Race. Who's sashaying away next week?
Let me look.
I'll tell you right now. So far, it has been anybody's game, but Queen Kong has been absolutely killing it.
Well, I mean, put it this way. You had Vanity Vane and Galavaro. Galavaro hasn't won anything in a while. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if Tessa Testicle is in trouble, too. So...
I'll go with any and all of those. It seems like and we can talk about this next week, especially with what we think is going to be happening. But you seem to have the queens that know how to speak English and that have that dialect having a distinct advantage this season so far, especially on the acting challenges and some of the other things. I was expecting more of an equalizer, and I haven't seen that yet. So as long as we don't see it, I can see the pick.
Okay, we had four spots going. We have six spots up for grabs in AGT. Give me someone who's going to be in the finals next week.
My money is still on the 10-year-old singer, Priyanka, I believe her name was.
Priyanka Mishra. I'll also throw in Lornmore Genasi. I'll say Roni Sagam and Rhythm. And Solange Cardinale.
I'll go with Solange Cardinale.
Do you think she could win the whole thing?
I think anybody can win the whole thing because I'm not going to say it's close to the talent that's there. It's just there really isn't anybody that's a really standout breakthrough. Who's the winner sort of season?
Maybe
I'm just feeling jaded because in election year we're seeing talent from other places that's not America.
You mean illegal competitors that are doing the job? American
now.
just excuse me. You started. I tried to finish. But anyway, Jeopardy. Wheel of Champions for a bit. We got.
It's gonna be Wheel of Champions. Yeah, it's gonna be Wheel of Champions for a bit. But hey, I'm glad that we're getting back to memorable games.
Oh. By the way, Emmy prediction. Does the Traitors beat Drag Race for best reality competition show this coming Sunday?
Wow, that is tough.
I say yes, because they've been winning awards worldwide. I say the show beats it.
You know what? Alan Cumming is a great host, but Drag Race has the better product. Just by a little. Just by a little. Because, I love the Traitors. But I think Drag Race is going to win this one.
It's going to be interesting to find out on Sunday. Wheel of Fortune. Does Seacrest get his $1 million winner soon?
Seacrest is getting $1 million, but the contestants are not going to get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Seacrest has already gotten its $1 million check spun on the wheels already at least 34 times. So maybe if he gives the contestant one of his checks, that would help propagate that.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, kudos to Ryan, by the way, for adding a little, hey, I'm going to be at the iHeartRadio Festival. Want to join me backstage? That was just very smooth. Very smooth and very clever. And by the way, what did you think of the NFL, an NFL game of your choice as a prize? Did you like that one?
If I would have liked it back in 2015 or 2016, nowadays not so much.
You could see a real team like the Kansas City Chiefs.
I could see a real team, and in fact, and this is a segue to the plugs because I don't think we have any mail. Let me check real quick. Nope, no mail. whatsoever. We talked about Kansas City kicking off the season on the BS Big Show, didn't we, Jay?
Yes, we did. We covered week one of the NFL, and next week we will be covering week two and, of course, week three in college. And we also covered that really weird arrest of Tyreek Hill. Boy, those cops are in trouble.
It would not shock me if this would be an episode of Audit the Audit in the next month.
By the way, Gordon, before we talk about the UBA, I want to talk to you about something that just broke today. There is going to be for the first time in 15 years, Leaf trading cards are offering PBA, Professional Bowls Association, cards and relics and autograph cards.
Ooh-hoo.
With like people like Pete Weber, Jason Belmonte, and more.
Ooh.
So you could check it out at leaftradingcards.com/PBA. But at the UBA, at ubatoday.info, what's happening?
Well, it's kicking off the new season. The Southeast started last weekend. This weekend, we got a little bit of the Northeast and New York going on.
Okay, and of course, ubatoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Now, over at the NAWC, we had a wild pay-per-view in Chicago with All Out. We're heading towards a little bit of bad blood down in Atlanta in about 3 weeks. NXT, we're heading towards the NXT premieres on the CW with a lot of big matches. And of course, the PW 500 came out, and not surprised to no one, Cody Rhodes is the number one wrestler according to PWI. But, you know, that's... By the way, number two is Swerve Strickland, which is a little bit of a shock, but pretty good stuff. But we will see. And, of course, we'll talk about all that on the NAWC this weekend. So what's going to be happening? Oh, I'm sorry. It was a thing. That's right. You is a thing. So what's going on? Here?
It is after midnight on a Thursday morning. So we have a new episode. Aside from Laughin, not to be confused with Rowan and Martin's Laughin, but Laughin featuring a young Robin Williams on the cast. We also have Clerks, the animated series, a cult classic film becomes a cult classic animated series that was pulled from the ABC schedule after two shows.
But actually did well in syndication.
It did well in syndication. It did well on DVD. And some of the self-referential gags just made it one of the funniest shows ever to come from the early 2000s. So that is
not for two seasons.
Yeah, no, it lasted for six episodes.
I'm sorry, two episodes, not two seasons.
Yeah. So that's it. It was a thing on TV.com. By the way, if you want to send us some email, I totally glossed over this. Our address is WLTI@GameshowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number two at the end.
I am GSNN Feature Aid.
And of course, the network is at 5N1Net. That's the number 5. ANDONENET on all social media. Give us a follow us. Give us a like if you like what we're doing. And next week, more fall stuff. We're talking about 5 questions on the Fox block. That is Pictionary, 25 words, and person, place, or thing. More Big Brother, more Drag Race, and we get stranded on an island with a whole lot of people competing for $1 million. All that and more Happy Toilet Time, too. So, for Jason Block, for Gordon Pepper, for everybody at 5N1, my name is Chico Alexander. Oh, yeah. And we're going to see who makes the finals on AGT.
Yes.
Because anyway, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Until next week, my friends, game over and spread the love.
Good night.
Interrupt this program.